Sometimes I see your inspiration and it's like, I want in on that.
I want to do that. I want to do that thing.
I want to do that thing that you just did because it was cool.
It was cool.
It was the coolest.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Everybody, hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Yep, I'm here, Ben. I have to say, though, I am a little bit tired.
Why are you so tired?
I stayed up all night wondering where the sun went, but then it dawned on me.
Oh, it's good. It's good because the sun came up.
Yeah, because it dawned. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know what? There's already good energy.
There's already good energy. Yeah.
I could tell. Jay, you want to talk about your first ever peach harvest?
Yes, I do, Ben. It was so exciting. It was so exciting this past weekend.
I'm not going to lie. It was exciting just to see the update because I didn't even think it was possible.
I didn't think it was possible. That was exactly part of it. You know, it was over the weekend, and if you want to see the results, you can see it on my Instagram, which is slowly, I've realized, becoming just like Jay's Garden Instagram.
You know what? That's okay.
It's okay.
I mean, there's nothing stopping what should be the quest.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Hashtag ask me about my compost.
Yeah. Ask me about it. You know, I'd love to tell you. It's looking great, by the way. It smells glorious.
Does it smell like earth?
It smells like earth being born of itself, you know?
It really is.
Which
what
is
it
what's
is.
Happening.
Yeah, you know, it's like there is nothing that blows my mind more. Like I feel like especially with things like oil, you know, or like gasoline, we think of it as this a fossil fuel.
Yeah.
Obviously has emissions and there's things associated with stuff like that. But like when you also think about like all of the former life that was lived.
Right.
And that life
is still in there.
It's still in there. Like it's like energy happened and the energy can't go anywhere.
Right.
It just got buried in the earth and became flammable.
Right. It's in those table scraps, you know?
Right.
And you're putting it out there and you're turned back into dirt and then you're growing unbelievable stuff out of it. The compost is so cool.
It is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
It is the coolest thing. So anyway, just glad for that to be the case. But
yeah.
The reason I wanted to ask about your peach harvest is that we are coming up on exactly 2 years ago.
Yep.
On Beth's, what would have been her 36th birthday?
Yep.
When what you purchased her was a peach tree for your backyard.
Yes. We got a peach tree for the backyard. And I was very skeptical myself about doing it.
Yeah.
Because like Beth always had this like big memory of just like going and getting, you know, of having peaches with her grandmother, and her grandmother just passed away. So I was like, oh, we're going to get a peach tree. Ah, you know?
What an adorable like backstory. And maybe you told me before, but I got to experience it again.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we put that back there and I was like, you know, I always think of like peaches as coming from like Georgia or South Carolina or just places south of us, you know,
souther
than us. We're like fairly south. We're like middle. We're like maybe just over the edge of south, you know.
I know what you mean, but like it's the same thing. It's like it feels like a fruit, like limes.
Yeah.
Like, can we grow limes?
Can we grow peaches here?
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we put it in the ground and, you know, obviously wasn't expecting anything in year one. And year two came around and it was like, well, it's still here. I remember when the winter came and all the leaves fell off, I was like, who knows if it's going to come back, you know?
You know what this
Who even knows?
What you just described is an analogy for the beginning of Super Carlin Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, made it through the first year, and then who knew if it was going to come back or not?
Yeah, right? And it did.
And it did. And yeah. It continues to thrive.
Yeah, yeah. We're crushing it out here. It's great. But I was out in my garden, actually, fertilizing my plants, because, you know, it'd been a while. These guys got to eat. You know, if they're going to feed me, I got to feed them. Right?
I put energy in, they give me energy back.
Right. But, you know, they probably sucked a lot of the nutrients out by now. So I'm going to go out there. I gotta, it's been like a month or so. I got to get refertilized. Just having a blast doing that, of course.
Oh, naturally. Yeah.
I have this weird relationship with the fertilizer where it's like, put a third of a cup around the, you know, the drip line of the plant or whatever. And I'm like doing it. And I'm like, this seems like so much. What if I run out? And I'm like, but look, what else are you going to use it for? Like, this is what you bought it for.
I have the exact same problem where I also, this is the first time I've ever done it. Like, I went to the store and bought, like, you know, for like little pelletized fertilizer.
Yeah.
That you can lay on there. And I feel the exact same way. It's like, I got this like bag. It's probably, I don't know, it's like a pound or something. And every single time I crack it open, I'm like, I should really
conserve this.
Conserve this. Yeah. Cause what if I get to winter and don't have any? I know.
Like, best case scenario, you just use exactly all of it.
Exactly.
Anyway, but yeah, I was doing that and I'm walking back in the house and I look over and there's like some netting around my tree so that, you know, animals and stuff, or deer specifically, don't get to it.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
And in the netting is this glorious yellow orb. And I'm like, oh, what is that? What is that? What is that? What is that? Is that a ready peach? Because it feels like it fell off the tree. It's like, that's probably a pretty ready to eat peach.
I think so. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So you looked at that bad boy and you're like, hey, you're coming home with
me. That's exactly what it was. I looked at it and I picked it up and then I like looked up into the tree and there was like so many peaches up there.
That is
amazing. I could
not
believe it. I was like, oh my God. It is what, like, I was not expecting such a bounty on today.
Did you narf it down right then and there?
No, I did not. I did not right then and there. I went in, I was like, Beth, look. And she was like, oh, peaches? And I was like, she was like, are there any more? I was like, there are so many more. Like, you have to come see.
I love that you guys are in your backyard all the time and it's like, guess what?
I know.
They're there.
The peaches have arrived at last. So yeah, we took the basket down and I picked as many as I could reach. And apparently you're supposed to give them like a little twist. And if they come off right when you twist it, it's ready. But if you twist it and it doesn't, it's like, even if it looks yellow, it's like, come back again. You know, you'll get it next time or whatever.
Okay.
That was my stress test for it. And we picked like 51 peaches.
51. On our one,
which was just like, it's so many. So many peaches. Well, I couldn't believe it. And then, yeah, we went inside. We cracked a few open. We had some. Beth made this like cottage cheese peach something amazing bowl for dinner, and you know, they were my dinner that night, so it was great.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
And can confirm, you know, like I morphed into one. Morphed. When you brought it in this morning, you brought like a little bag full of them, and I mean it the thing it reminded me of was the guy from Lord of the Rings who is like eating tomatoes like,
yeah,
he doesn't know what napkins are,
right,
or whatever, and he's just like
right,
you know, because so, you know, I took like a bite into it. I'm like, man, this thing has got like the drip, you know, like, I mean, I honestly was also kind of blown away. I was like, I cannot believe you grew a peach that is like a satisfying.
I know.
Like not only like did you do it successfully, but they taste good.
I know. That was the other thing. I was like, man, what's going to happen? Is they're going to like grow, but they're like going to be small, or they won't taste good, or they'll get like one. Even if I grow a ton, I bet I only get like one or two good ones a year or something.
I mean, getting a good peach is like a rare thing.
Right. And this is like right off the tree. Boom, bam, got it. So exciting. And then even this morning, I didn't get any peaches this morning because I didn't really go look. But I went out and I got like, you know, it was my first like probably like bigger tomato harvest. I got like 8 biggins this morning.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, oh my gosh, we are rolling in it now. We are in prime harvest season.
That's right. I know. Yeah. So our big one, which is so funny, but it's like our friends, Stephen and Hillary, who are like really big gardeners, like their entire property is just like stuff that they're growing.
Right.
Grin. They brought us these like sunburst like cherry tomatoes once upon a time. Nice. That Addison absolutely loves. And I would say that like 99% of the joy that I get from the garden is coming from going out there with her, which she will ask, you know,
yeah,
like can we go out and like look at the garden,
right,
which I absolutely love. And then we go out there and I mean, she will just pop those things back like one after the other.
It's like candy.
It is like candy. And I'm like, I think like literally witnessing her do it, it's like I'm watching her like from like one piece eat like a devil's fruit or whatever, where I'm just like, you are gaining power from eating fruit directly, or, you know, vegetables, fruit, tomatoes are fruit.
Yeah.
Eating fruit directly off the vine, like every day through summer. It's like, you know, I mean, these things are just like, they're homegrown. She loves them. And I mean, she will literally eat them like candy. And so it's just like, I tomatoes are not even amongst like my, you know, more prioritized,
yeah,
you know, produce or whatever. And yet that alone is just like, oh, this is the best.
Oh, I know. Yeah. We made some BLTs with our other tomatoes this weekend. Like Beth made like a whole tray of bacon. And it was so good. It was so good. We were trying to get the kids in on the BLT action.
Yeah, how'd they do?
I mean, they just wanted bacon, you know?
I mean, it's not an unreasonable take.
Not unreasonable. Whole, yeah. Luke did try some of our fresh tomatoes with some salt on it, and he was like, it's good. It's good. I was like, all right, cool. Good. You tried it.
That's good. That's good.
Because here's the thing. It's like, you know what? If you grew up in a house that grew tomatoes every single year, if you grew in a house with like a peach tree, like you're going to like peaches.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because like one day you're going to be like off to school or whatever. And people are like, wow, you really like peaches. You'd be like, well, my dad grew them growing up.
Yeah. So, we have a peach tree at my house. You know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, nothing better than going out there with my brothers and, you know, we would like pick them and throw them at each other. And then like when we got tired and hot and sweaty, we would just like sit down and like eat all the peaches, you know?
Chow down a peach, you know?
Right.
And I was like, now, like, cause some, like the peach tree in particular, I'm always like, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to mess it up or something. And it's like, it's been there for 2 years. Like I would never just worry a tree was just going to die, you know,
like abruptly,
right? Abruptly. It's like once trees are in the ground, they're not really going anywhere.
They kind of keep on.
They
kind of
just
trees.
Keep on being a tree. I know. I'm always like something. I'm gonna mess it up. They're like that tree is just gonna die. Every tree around it in every direction is doing great and fine and has lived forever. But this one is gonna suck.
That's
you know?
It. Yeah. It does feel like there's something that like you don't know about like what's going on. Where it's like I probably have the wrong kind of soil. And everybody who has good success, or even the other trees around here, maybe they just like this soil, but it's not the right soil for something like a peach tree.
Well, I just gave my peach a nice. I just covered the whole. The whole bottom of the trunk just with a nice layer of compost here recently. It's feeding, it's feasting.
I feel like second bloom alert, you
right
know?
Yeah,
like,
I know, who's to say? That's the other thing. I'm like, this is another one where I'm like, I don't know if like when they're all ready, it's just sort of like, yeah, they're all ready at once, so you get them and then that's just sort of it,
right?
Or if it's like it'll keep producing as time goes on, or if it's like, nope, today was peach day, you know?
That would be so interesting too, if it like is like a one and done type of situation. And the only thing that would lead me to believe that is like they probably flower, it probably flowered in the spring,
yeah,
and like the pollinated flowers turned into fruit,
right?
Because that's how fruit works.
Yeah.
So it's like, would it need new flowers?
I don't know. Has it been doing more flowers over time and right. something? Or, yeah. But this is also just like the first year it's fruited, which is 2 years later. So, like, it's only going to get bigger. You know, I feel like at some point, like, I can't believe how many I got off a single tree, you know?
Right.
That's the thing.
You're going to get a grove going back there.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Beth was like, what other kind of fruit trees could we plant, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, now that we kick this door open.
Now that we know it works, you know?
Yeah, we gotta storm the Bastille or something.
Exactly. We could get this rolling here. Maybe we'll get a couple of peach trees. Maybe we'll get like a pear tree or a, you know, figs or whatever.
You could get a partridge.
I could get a partridge for my pear tree.
That's right.
All the things.
If I'm not mistaken, it's a comically large bird.
Yeah, I think.
But I don't know much about partridges.
Me neither. Mostly just from the Christmas song.
That's about the only major interaction.
That's about it. That's where it's doing most of its work in marketing every year.
Yeah. Big partridge.
Big partridge is like,
we got in good.
We got in good with that Christmas song. We are the only thing that's in every verse of the song.
Right.
You know?
Right. We show up a bunch of times.
We show up 12 times. We're great.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. We're kind of like the leader. You know, there's only like one of us, but 12 of us at
right.
the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. The rings are like, yeah, all right, sure. You're the leader.
We pause for me. Okay?
We pause for me. All right. You ever remember that part of the song where it's 5 golden rings and a partridge and a pear tree? Yeah, us too. Okay, cool. Fine. Whatever.
Partridge. And by the way, right there at the end, there's going to be partridge and a pear tree. You
know? Yeah.
Partridge and a pear tree. But no, I like that too because I also like pears.
The partridge is like the HOA president of the 12 Days of Christmas, you know?
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah.
Like it's like, you know, you can't be running like pure white bulbs in your exterior lighting, you know? Like, yeah. What are you trying to do? Make us all look sickly?
Everyone's just like, dude, Partridge, be quiet. Golden rings are throwing a party.
Right? That's exactly who would be throwing the party too.
And, yeah, 5 golden rings is like the absolute most popular kid in the 12 Days of Christmas.
Right. But then the drummer's drumming, like they're also like, they're like, you know.
Oh, the Partridge hates the drummer's drumming. They're making too much noise.
Way too much noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we got this analogy going.
I mean, now that I'm starting to think about it, I'm like, there's a lot to it.
There's a lot to it.
Just imagine a suburban neighborhood.
Right.
You know,
and poor Partridge down there.
Right.
Sitting in their pear tree, you know, Partridge to pear tree. Pear tree at winter at Christmas too. Not like a blossoming pear tree.
Just like a bare and kind of like sad looking pear tree.
Exactly. Everyone else is just like, they're not like tied to a specific tree. Who knows what the turtle doves are actually doing, you know? Maybe they're in their birdhouse while Partridge is out there in its barren old pear tree.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe the turtle doves live in an old, like, tortoise shell.
You think so? Like, they're, like, really leading into the turtle part of their name?
Yeah, yeah. I said tortoise, though, and a tortoise is different from a turtle, so an old turtle shell.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that's, like, what makes them...
Turtle doves.
Turtle doves.
Yeah.
Is that they house...
Yeah.
...in... A turtle shell.
Right, yeah.
And like many of them are like, oh yes, my great 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 grandpappy first discovered this shell, and every generation of us ever since have lived in the same shell.
We lived in the same shell.
Yeah.
We've been, you know, we don't make a lot of noise. You know, Partridge gives us she fines us for not mowing the lawn sometimes.
We live the quiet life.
We live the quiet life, not like French hens. J'accuse? French hens are causing a ruckus, you know.
Oh yeah, you got it. Yeah, I mean, they're
Partridge is not sure. She's like, they immigrated here. I don't know.
We think they're having fun.
We think so.
We're not sure. You know, they bring interesting food to the potlucks, which is great. You know, like
a lot of bird seed. You know, yeah, it's they're French. Don't know about the cheese. Ugh. A little weird.
Is it supposed to smell like that?
Or? Right.
I have no idea. The French people listening right now are like, I hate you guys.
No, No. We're defending French hens, you know?
My bad. Now they're going to be like, Ben, I hate you because you thought we were making fun of you, but even actually we were celebrating you.
We're making fun of Partridge in her barren old pear tree.
You're right.
Yeah.
Partridge.
Poor Partridge.
Silly head. I think the reality, too, is that Partridge is just kind of like... like a little sad and lonely, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone else has a companion.
Yeah, like they're just by themselves.
They're all alone.
Right.
There's no one here.
There's no one here. No one here. Nope. There's just a bunch of other people partying. There's people leaping. There's people milking. There's people piping. You know. There's the five golden rings. Everyone loves them.
They
do that thing where they look like the Olympics, and it's like, oh man, gold rings do the Olympic formation. Oh,
that's so cool.
We love it. We love you, golden rings.
I mean, I think it goes without saying that they're the goat of that song.
They're the goat. There's no doubt. Okay. I mean, unless anything else references a goat, because that feels like something that song would do, but I don't think so.
You know what's weird is this, I mean, that's a great way to transition a little bit, because it's like the cataloging. You know, it's like, if you were to just like cold ask someone, are there goats referenced anywhere in the 12 Days of Christmas song?
Right.
It's like you... could know all of the words and not know the answer to that question.
Right.
And like, for me, I feel like that's exactly how it works. Like, it's almost like I've got like a categorical blind spot when it comes to the way you like sort information.
Yeah.
It's just not
like you have to, it's like if people, I feel like the alphabet can be the same way. You know, like if someone was like, how far is 7 from 13? I'd be like, yeah, no problem.
6.
But if someone, yeah, 6. But if someone's like, how far is J from T? I'd be like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I can't,
good.
J.
I know what it is, but it's only because your name starts with J and our younger brother's name starts with T. And
okay.
So it's 10 and 20.
There you go. So those are easy.
I have a reason for it.
Yeah.
I also know that Z is 26.
Z is 26. A, B, and C, and D, and E, and F are all pretty easy too.
Reasonably easy.
Once you get past F, it's pretty murky, I think.
You know,
until you get to X.
The thing is that like G could lure me into believing that it comes before F.
Right.
Like, and I don't know why, like, you know, it's like EFG,
like,
obviously.
Like E and F are sort of like a pair, you know?
Yeah.
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 Not like a Partridge pair, but.
No. Completely different. Cause that's like the solo life.
Yeah.
You're living alone if you're in a Partridge.
Right.
Or
exactly.
If you are a Partridge in a pear tree.
But like E and F to me, like capital E and capital F are just one line away from each other.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. E, F, G, H, H, I, J, K. H-I-J-K are another one that feel like they're like clumped.
Who's to say what order they really come in?
I mean, it's
H-I-J-K.
Yeah.
I mean, one of those is even my letter.
True, right?
H-I-J. If you were just like cold, they're just like, does H go before J in the alphabet? I would have to think about it.
Same. Yes. Maybe you could remember it as like, hi, just kidding.
Hi, just kidding. Exactly. That's a great way to remember that section of the alphabet.
Because that's what everybody's trying to figure out. They're like, oh, that is useful. And it's like, except when does this come up?
Right, right.
So utterly infrequently.
Yeah, Yeah, doesn't come up that often. No one's really needing you to know the distance between alphabet letters that much.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I mean, it's just the way that like our brains work. And actually, it reminds me of a strong opinion about a weak thing, which is what, it just makes me angry that people know what the Byzantine Empire is. Like
that they... that people know what the Byzantine Empire is.
Why do they know?
Why do they? How? Why?
Like, I just don't know what it is. I don't know what they did. I don't know who ruled them. I don't know where in the world it was. And I even remember in ninth grade world history, like, I remember learning about it.
Yeah, I know learned it. Like, I feel like the color purple comes to mind.
Why?
Like they invented like clothes that were purple. Like they had the dye to do it or something.
Oh,
I don't even know if that's correct, but I remember something we learned about being like, oh yeah, they like came up with purple dye.
but I mean, it's like, you know, this is I believe a dominant force that you know occupied a great portion of whatever part of the world they occupied.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, is it just like not relevant history to like the history that like we learn?
Right.
Or
if I was like, Ben, was the Byzantine Empire closer to 1,000 years ago or closer to 5,000 years ago? Would you know? Because I don't, but...
I was like, 1,000?
1,000? Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't feel confident about it.
Right.
You know, like, that's another thing that blows my mind is that, like, it's... It sometimes I think it's odd that we think about it being, like, the year 2026 when there just is so much history, like, before.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's not that I feel like the dawn of time began, like, in year one. Or whatever.
No, yeah.
Like I, you know, like I know that things happened before then, but like sometimes it feels like in my mind, like recorded history, like that's maybe like how we're like defining. Well, I know how we're defining it to be doubly clear, but like, you know, it's like. Like, I don't know. Like, why don't we start there? What a confusing
it's like,
thing.
Right. If it's like 2026 is year, if BC is before Christ, then. And since then is 2026 years. It seems like most of time was BC.
Right.
Right?
Yes, it does.
I'm sorry, it doesn't seem like that. That's just true.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like it's like, and I think this is a scale problem too, a perspective problem. It's like, we don't like, it would take like how many generations of people to have lived through 2,000 years. So it's like, We don't have lifespans anywhere near 2,000. It's such an extraordinary amount of time.
Yeah.
But at the same rate, like in the scope of history, it's like a blink. It basically has only barely happened.
Right.
But so that's the thing too, is that like, when I think about like technology or philosophy or like understanding of the stars happening before that, I'm like, no, surely not.
Right.
Like we were closer to like living in caves, and it's like, no, inaccurate.
Right. Yeah.
Inaccurate.
It's like, y'all are moving at like a pretty nice click here, you know?
Right. Right. Yes. Yes. And I mean, even for that matter, I feel like we have just simply lived through such an era of technological advancement that even that it's almost just like, when you think about like the way our parents grew up, it feels so different from the way that like we grew up, and how we grew up is so different from how our kids are growing up already.
Yeah.
And again, it's probably the kind of thing where every generation ever has felt that way.
Right.
Where it's like, oh my gosh, so much has changed. You know, like every generation thinks the one that came after it has it better than them. And yet at the same rate, it's almost like, that's a little bit of the goal, isn't it?
Right. You know? Yeah. Like, that is kind of the goal.
Right. It's like, you know, you want to like make it better so that it's better.
Right.
You know, like, and then as that happens, it's like, oh, you never even had to deal with these problems. And it's like, yeah, we solved those.
Right.
So now they'll have different problems that they face.
Right.
And then their kids won't have that problem.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Maybe.
And eventually we'll just have all the problems fixed. You know,
do you think there's a point of diminishing returns where like we eventually get like, this almost feels like its own dystopian novel where you get forward and it's almost like everything has been so solidified into like, this is how it is.
Right.
This is the most effective way to balance like enjoyment, prosperity, and sustainability, like all in perfect harmony.
Right.
You know, and it's like you get to live a wonderful existence while not damaging the dirt that we live on.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have enough energy directed towards, you know, continuing this that it upholds, and we all agree that it's worth upholding.
Right.
You know?
There you go. I'm just like, why would we ruin it?
Why would we ruin it? But then it would be so interesting, like, because I mean, and not that this would ever be the case, because every, you know, it's like fingerprints, like every single human's experience is going to be unique to them in some way, shape or form. Like me and you grew up in the same house and yet we still have like varying worldviews,
right?
And like thoughts and opinions and interests and habits and flaws and strengths and, you know, so it's like nobody would ever have it exactly the same, but it would be kind of interesting if like your kid grew up in like a much, much, much more similar set of parameters to yourself.
Right. Yeah, that would be true. I mean, then like our kids are probably growing up fairly similar to ourselves because we're like in the same area and stuff.
We are in the same area, but I like, this is going to sound like such a silly thing to feel like is drastically different, but it's like the control over entertainment that I find to be like a very significant change up from when we were kids.
Yeah.
Like we were subject to whatever was like on cable.
Oh, yeah.
For example, like, right, specific, like, you know, like if you wanted to like watch a show you really wanted to watch, like it was like, well, you can watch it if you're in front of the TV at 7.
Right.
You know, but otherwise like try again tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Maybe they'll play it at other times in the day, you know?
Right. Right. Like I can't imagine if Addison was like, you know, well, I mean, I can imagine cause I lived it, but you know, if she's like, hey, can I watch like Spidey and His Amazing Friends or whatever? It's like, what would it be like if you're like, well, you can like 34 minutes.
Right. When, yeah. When like right now I think they're playing Doc McStuffins. So that when that is over, then is when Spidey is.
Right. Right. And it's like, So why don't you just watch Doc McStuffins? You know? Cause like, you know, if you want to watch TV now, that's like, what's on. It's like, I don't want to watch Doc McStuffins. And it's like well, sometimes you don't get to choose.
I know. Right. I don't know what to tell you. I know. Like our kids' ability to like, just sit down and be like, I'm going to watch all of a show now. Right. Like that was so non-existent.
Yes.
In a way that I desperately wish it had been true when we were kids though.
Well, I think especially too, because it like, it changes and this will be like an interesting ripple to like watch unfold. Think about storytelling. Like, you know, so Alice and I just finished watching the like live action, well, we caught up to the present at least for Avatar the Last Airbender.
Yeah.
But like, we've talked a lot about it like as like the Nickelodeon television show that we would have grown up as kids, but it was unique when we were kids in that there was a, like there were season long arcs and narratives, and then there's the overall show arcs and narrative.
Right.
And there's like excellent continuity as the story unfolds. But that makes for an interesting like offering when we were kids, when you couldn't sit down and watch it. Episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, so it's like, if you were sitting down and you're just like watching TV that day and Avatar comes on, you might be watching episode 7, season 2.
Right.
And it's just like,
you know what's going on.
Yeah. Use as much context as you possibly can.
Right.
And even the way that they wrote the show probably had to account on some level for like that episode being entertaining, and, or maybe even like the intro gives you enough, like, you know, and then the Fire Nation attacked.
Right.
It's like, okay, the Fire Nation
kinda, bad guys.
Kind of the bad guys.
Yeah.
Aang is the only one of these guys. Like,
right.
You know, so it's like every episode starts with enough of a cliff notes that you get there. But think about what this would do for this new generation that can watch start to finish from the beginning. Like their relationship with stories might actually be like more complete.
More complete because they get to see the full narratives.
They can see the full narratives and like there are fewer holes, you know? So like even the, like even coming to understand what like a grand story might look like.
Yeah.
Is, it would be harder to find.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we latched onto things as kids, like, you know, whether it was like the Harry Potter books or the Star Wars movies or whatever, where like you do get a lengthier arc,
right?
You know, but it still was fewer and further between.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, because like a lot of times, or like for a lot of kids shows even now, like if you go to Disney Plus, it'll be like, you know, like Spidey as an example, it's like there's not really a ton of continuity between those episodes in particular. You know, they're like all kind of just one-offs in a row.
Oh yeah, right. You know? That's a good point.
Like
that's
a good point. A new season, like when a new season starts, it might introduce like a couple new villains or something, but it's not like there will be a story arc. It might be, oh, the team got new vehicles now because we're in a new season or whatever.
Right, right.
But yes. Like I do wonder though, like will they start making kids programming that is more like intended to be watched as an arc because I know kids can just sit down and do it and can do it in a way that won't be disjointed and confusing. Because you can imagine that's like the problem is that if shows only come on, you know, once a day at 7:30, then if they're showing you like a story, it's easy to miss one day and then feel like you don't know what's going on.
Right.
You know, whereas like if you just have one-off episodes all the time, you can pretty safely put that one in. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. The stakes are contained to this episode in particular. Like even Avatar The Last Airbender, there's like the most infamous episode, I suppose, is called like the, I think it's called The Canyon or like The Great Chasm or something.
Okay.
But it is, I think it was the most played episode on TV.
Oh, because what a weird stat for them to know.
I know, yeah. Because like there was, it's like one of the very few episodes where the plot doesn't progress at all. It's like all that really happens in this episode is that they go into like whatever is like the Great Chasm or the Canyon or whatever, and there's this tribe of people and this tribe of people, and Katara likes this group of people and Sokka likes this group of people, and Aang eventually has to like bring them together or sure. whatever.
Yeah.
And so like it does a great job of being like, this is Katara's personality, this is Sokka's personality, this is Aang's personality, and like you don't need much more than that to understand like who the characters are. It's good at establishing like what's important to the characters without the plot actually moving anywhere at all. But because the plot doesn't require you to know anything before it, it's like, that's fine. We can put this almost anywhere.
So, okay. That I think presents like an interesting, just like observation too about what the larger, like almost like boardroom version of television programming may have looked like, because you could even theoretically go in and if like you're working for like Nickelodeon headquarters or whatever, and you know the team that's working on Avatar, and you've watched the episodes of the show, and you're like, this is good.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like they could all be sitting in there and being like, we all love this.
Right.
Like, it's really unique. It's very different. Like, it's got such, you know, lovable characters and a unique world, and all the various little like animals and stuff that they come up with are like, you know, far flung, but like whimsical and kind of like approachable and stuff. But then they could be like looking at the like metrics, you know, like, so they send out, they literally, I mean, they may still do it, I guess I'm not really 100% sure, but they send out these like papers that you can fill out that show like your watching habits.
Right.
And you would like mail them back in. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they would like mail you cash
filling out your little viewing journal.
When we first started doing Super Carlin Brothers, we were working out of an apartment complex that was like where our first ever office was. And they would set what Neiman's.
That's what it is. Yeah.
They would send us
Nielsen's
rating system. That's right. Oh my gosh. Dad's going to like roll over.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes. But so like we kept doing this thing where we would like fill the Nielsen's thing out and send it back. And like, we ended up collecting like $8 by doing it. We had right. it like, you know, magnetically stuck to our fridge, and it was kind of like, oh, that's fun. But I wonder if, you know, they could look at the Nielsen rating system from back then and almost be like, we all know that this show is great, but only this episode gets good steady viewership. Like almost as if like you're so like in YouTube terms or podcast terms or whatever, we would have like retention time,
right?
So like
it gets high retention time.
Yeah. So imagine, for example, like we have like a really good thumbnail and a very grabbing, you know, title, and you're like, I've always wondered that, and then like you click on the video and we answer the question in the first like 30 seconds and you see it's like 18 minutes long, you might be like, I'm not watching the rest of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what we would see on our end is the metric that shows that people only watched on average for 30 to 45 seconds before clicking away.
Right.
And it's like, that would be like a huge indicator as like a content creator. It's like, you had a great pitch, it's a great concept, but the execution of like the video itself did not keep people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that could easily have been the case with Avatar, where all the people involved agree it's a great product. But the only one that really like works in television format is that one, specifically because we don't have the format that we have today.
Right.
So introduce it to Netflix and there's like a massive resurgence of popularity because.
Yeah. Really, that was like the greatest thing ever when Avatar was put on Netflix, you know, because it was like, you can literally just watch the show completely in order now.
Yes.
You know, because you would catch runs of it on TV and it'd be like, okay, that was fun. Those were all in order.
Right.
But like, I don't know for sure exactly where they go in the whole story. You know?
Can you imagine? Like, I mean, we just got to the end of season two, and it's sort of like one of these things where I'm like, well, I don't want to wait a year. You know, like there's that like, ugh. Like, you know, then like when it comes out a year from now, I'm going to just like watch it again so I can catch back up and know exactly where we left off and all that type of stuff. But can you imagine like the despair that would be like watching five episodes in a row and then Rugrats comes on and you're like, what?
Wait, what happens?
And, wait, no. No. Like, when will the next one be?
When next one?
Right. And I mean, even like, I felt like it even took a little while when we were, because there used to be like the TV guides that you could go like at the checkout counter at the grocery store.
Oh yeah.
And you could pick up the TV guide and it would tell you like, I Love Lucy is coming on like at 8 p.m. on channel 45, you know, or 27 or whatever. And that might be a way that you knew what was going on. And then eventually the TV got that like guide feature.
Right.
Where you could go and be like, you know, scroll down.
Scroll. Yeah.
Yeah. Like what's on at what time and get like a feel for it. But I don't even know if it always, maybe it did eventually tell you like what episodes would air. Like,
oh yeah. Like, yeah. Or would it just say Avatar?
Just Avatar. Would it say like, you know, in today's episode, it's the canyon. You know?
Right.
And you're like, ugh. Again?
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, yeah, that is, like, I think considered by the fandom to be, like because nothing happens, it's like, just skip it, you know? You won't miss it.
You won't miss it. I mean, and that's interesting as well, because then, okay, going back to our Nickelodeon boardroom, was it the case that they were like, guys, you're making something good. We need a one-off that has a fully contained story in it.
Yeah, for this purpose.
For this purpose. So, because you could almost call it what's called a bottle episode.
A little bit, yeah.
Which is, like, if you've ever watched, there's a really famous one from Breaking Bad where the entire episode just takes place in the lab and they're trying to kill a fly.
Right.
And that's it. Or if you've ever watched Ted Lasso, there's an episode where Beard goes on this, like, bizarre acid trip type thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Beard's night out. And it's like, you don't see really any of the plot of the team or Ted or anybody doing anything, you know, it's just Beard being really weird.
Beard being weird.
And you know, that's that. But yeah, so it's kind of like a fascinating upside down, you know, that like back then it would be the most watched and in the modern day, it's the least watched.
Right. Yeah.
Is that like, cause it even feels like such a compromise between like, you know, in air quotes, like suits,
right,
and creatives,
right? It's like, yeah, with this like the whole like this, we don't even like this episode because nothing really happens.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like you guys are making us bend over backwards to give you something that nobody's gonna want. And like, it would even be funny like if the showrunners were like, yeah, we hate that episode,
right? Yeah.
Like, you know, like
it has a function.
Yeah, like
it gets people to know the character, so when the real stuff's happening, it's easier to drop them in. Okay.
Yeah. Of course, this is all pure guesswork, and maybe
we have no idea. Yeah, maybe they like it.
Maybe that's just how it shook out.
Right. Yeah. Maybe the writers were just like, you know what, we need an episode where we establish the, you know, it's just focused on establishing these characters where no plot happens. You know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Or it's, I don't know how many episodes per season there are.
I think it's like 20.
Okay. So maybe it was the kind of thing where they're like, we got 19 solids.
Right.
We need one more.
One more.
You know, right somewhere right there. Between episodes like 8 and 12.
Yeah.
You know, like
low stakes, you know?
Like we need like kind of like a lull, the calm before the storm, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's that.
That's that. The Canyon. The Avatar. Canyon.
Right.
Skip it.
Or watch it.
Whatever.
You know what would be funny is if now that we talked about it, there's a little like micro surge. People are like, well, not going to go see what all the buzz about.
What's this one about? Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that one?
All right. Transition?
Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is no secret at this point that Jay and I are big advocates for mental health and trying to knock down any stigma behind seeking out therapy. We are both regulars ourselves in our own sessions, and our team has the freedom to take their own sessions as needed, no questions asked. And as much as we speak about our own experiences, it's not just us. If you head over to betterhelp.com/reviews, you can see so many other people sharing their experience and the impact that it's had on their lives.
lives. And it honestly warms my heart that there are so many of them. Over 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally and maintain a 4.9 out of 5 rating based on over 1.7 million reviews. And when I stepped into my first therapy session, I had myself convinced I was being dramatic. The crazy part is realizing just how much weight you may be carrying with you every day. And there is someone out there who can help. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's better. H-E-L-P.com.
Ben?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to, maybe you can help me figure this out. Okay.
Okay.
I am going to the beach in a week, right? On family vacation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And yesterday, Beth asked me a question, and for some reason, it gave me like the absolute dread in my soul.
Okay.
Okay. All and right. I don't know why. Okay. And it was like, do you think we should get a beach wagon to like drag the stuff down to the beach? Okay. That was the question.
That's the question.
That's the question. And it was like, I have been like stuck on it because like in my head, I know there is a practical usefulness to having such a device, you know, like to drag the stuff down to the beach. But I also know like deep in my bones that I desperately don't want a beach wagon.
You and I get the dread over such radically different things.
I was just like it felt like a threat to me, you know?
Like what? You think I can't carry it all?
Not even that. It was just like what is it? I think there's part of me that's like, I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, you know, whenever we would go to the beach, it's like there was no beach wagon, you know? We didn't have a beach wagon.
I mean, and that's true. Yeah, right? You're absolutely correct. Like, you know, when we, but we were also like the house that we stayed in growing up, like we was the same one every single time. Yep. It was a purple house at Holden Beach.
Yep.
And it was, you know, two families packed in there, our family on one side, other family on the other side.
Right.
And, you know, it was a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of kids, big thing. But we were on the ocean front.
Right. It was ocean front.
Right. So you could like walk out the deck straight down to the beach. So like there wouldn't be an obvious need for a wagon when we were kids, because like where would you have dragged it? Like across like the 30-foot deck to the stairs? Like,
yeah. Exactly. You know, you're right. There wasn't any reason to it.
Right.
You know, there wouldn't have been a way to get it down the stairs. You know?
Yeah. Right. Yes, right. Exactly. And I mean, honestly, at that point in time, carrying like a heavy wagon down the stairs would be a bigger barrier than just doing it otherwise.
Right. Exactly.
So, okay. So my question where I'd be coming from was like, we didn't have one growing up. So like, it wasn't part of like our repertoire, you know, not a thing, but we didn't have a need for one. So like, would you say your upcoming beach trip has a greater call?
Well, that is the tricky part, okay? Because we are staying ocean front, but it is not like a beach house.
Okay.
It is like a condo kind of situation.
So like, would you like get like into an elevator?
I think you will get into an elevator.
Okay. So like walk out of your room, go down the hall, get in the elevator, go down the elevator, probably 3 floors. That's my best bet.
Sure.
And then you get out on the landing and then you probably walk like,
Down some ramps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Onto the beach, whatnot.
Yeah. Okay. What happens like when you go in for lunch?
Right.
Like, do you leave the stuff on the beach or does it come back with you?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Good question. Cause like,
yeah, you're right. Like when we go to the beach growing up, it's like, oh yeah. You're going in, just drag your chairs up to the stairs. You don't have to bring them up the stairs, just to the bottom of them.
Make sure the tide doesn't roll up and wipe them out or just take them forever.
Right. It seems like you probably can't do that, like drag them up, leave them at the bottom of these like ramps because other people will be using the ramps.
True.
Right.
True. And if everyone did that, I suspect it would get quite cluttered.
Right. So there's that.
So there's that. But like,
but then there's like the, I think the other half of it feels like there's like a, why does everything have to be like a giant production? part of it. You know, it's like when you're just going down to the beach and all you'd grab is like, you know, your swim trunks and a towel. Like there's a certain like freedom there. And it's like,
is it because you're walking naked all the way out to the beach?
Yeah, that's right. it's like, as opposed to, it feels more like you're getting ready for a day at Disney if you have the beach wagon. You know, it's like, make sure you got the cooler and the sand toys and the this and the that and the anything you could possibly need. It is like, now you have to bring everything you might need every time instead of just what you need right now.
I mean, I do see where you're coming from. Like, there's a, like, boxes breed creativity type situation. So it's like...
But this is like wagons breed, like... overpacking.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So it's like, you know, if like you guys are getting ready to go and it's like, all right, boys, you're allowed to bring what you can carry. So, you know, like Luke, you want the football? Carry the football. Like, you know, Nate, you want the bucket? Carry the bucket. You know, Nick, shovel.
Right.
Like when you guys get down there, you'll have a bucket, a shovel, and football.
Right.
For the whole day, you will find a way to make those things fun.
Right.
So like I could see a world where that would be the case. But I do think that there's like different schools of thought and maybe even on some level, like I feel like there's like an underlying message here that would sort of be like, we're staying this way this time, but it would not be my intention to stay this way every time. So do we really need the, like, can we like endure this trip? Have a good time, mind you.
Right.
But like, we'll have some heavier carrying to do to and from.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, that's the other half of it, is that even if you get it and it's great, then once the trip is over, then you still have a beach wagon.
You do still have a beach wagon, and then it's something you got to store. And that does become a challenge. But here's what I'll tell you, and what I think is so interesting, because when I saw this on here, I was like, this is a very interesting thing to have been set up.
Yeah,
is because I am also going to the beach, not with you,
right?
Next week,
yes.
And I ordered a beach wagon.
You ordered a beach wagon.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. Yep. And it mm-hmm. was, and it was one of those things where I was,
and a
like,
part of you died.
Well,
did you have an emotional reaction to buying the beach wagon?
I didn't.
You just sort of were just like, yeah, we should get one. And then you did it and didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a crazy person.
Like, I know. Who am I?
I know. Who am I? But you're also not staying. You're staying a row back.
I am staying a row back. So I will have like more than a football field's distance to traverse in order to get to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like the beach that we're going to is fairly quiet. So it's, you know, like one of those things where like, I'm not terribly concerned that like, if I carry everything down in the morning, then I feel pretty comfortable leaving it there. Even if like we go in for lunch and then come back,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever. It's like, okay, you know, at some point in time, well, you know, that way it's sort of like two wagon trips per day down back. You
right.
know, they
that's
really
the other thing. Yeah. Like, cause that's the other thing is do you have to repack it every single time you're going in? You know,
right.
Load up every single chair, beach shade, whatever.
Well, and you know, this is what I also found interesting about it as I was researching it, is that it was very hard to find a beach wagon that, even though they're classified as beach wagons, had good reviews for being good on the beach. And the caveat there is
the tires.
The tires. Like, so you need like wide tires.
Yeah. But
even the ones that have wide tires designed for beach use, they say in soft sand, don't perform well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like best case scenario, like you're going to have to like drag it through the primary portion that you're going to use it for. Now, if you take it down to like where the water is and it's like heavier, then it sounds like they roll just fine. Like no big deal. Cause that's basically just like soft concrete.
Right. Yeah. You know? But like, that's not where you need the beach wagon.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You need it over the soft sand.
Right. So I feel like if you're spending a whole lot of reps going back and forth in the soft sand, it's going to make you angry because it's going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm like plowing this thing back and forth, and it's supposed to be a beach wagon. It should
right.
be good on
it should
the beach.
Perform.
Right. But so for me, like a huge amount of like the distance I will travel is going to be not beach.
Right.
Like, so I will largely be going like down the sidewalk, across the road, and then like up the
right.
beach access point or whatever.
Right. You also can leave. I mean, I'm imagining you can also leave yours on the ground floor, go downstairs, and like load it up and then just drag it from the ground.
That is, you know, also true.
Because I'm imagining mine is going to have to be traveling up and down an elevator and stuff.
Right.
You know?
That's a good point. That's a good
point.
And
it's like, I don't know. It's like we are in such like a medium zone of like I don't know how crowded the beach we're going to go to is going to be. You know, is it going to be like big public beach where there's like, you know, 20 people per 20 square feet? Or is it going to be like, you know, 10 people per 100 feet, you know?
Right. I think our childhood experience of going to the beach has painted an image of beach going that I think is maybe less common completely.
Perhaps.
Like because we went to Holden Beach where there are no hotels. Like,
right.
None.
At all.
So every single like space of beach is primarily occupied only by the house that sits behind it.
Right.
So it's like if you've got like a row of, I mean, and there's of course people like me on this upcoming trip where I'm going to be coming from like a row back.
Right.
You know, going through like a public beach access type situation, but it still won't be packed.
Right.
Because you're not dealing with, you know, like imagine the footprint of a house, but then go up 30 stories. Mm-hmm. It's like, then you have how many rooms, how many families, how many people who all need the space in front of that building.
Right.
For beach access.
For beach access.
Yeah. But then otherwise, if it's just like a single house, it's like you're dealing with like 10, 12 people
who right.
are using like a swath of, you know, 50 feet.
Yeah.
Side to side.
Right.
Of beach.
So I don't know what the population of the beach will be.
Right.
You know? And it's like, you're right. If we were a row back, I feel like it would almost be better for this particular decision for me.
Okay. So next question.
Yeah.
So like, there's like a convenience cost. So like sometimes, like if you were buying tickets for like a concert or something, you might be like, well, you know, if I spend an extra like $100, I could be up close.
Right.
You know, I could be like near the stage.
You're near the stage.
I get a better view. I can see the sweat.
Yeah.
You know,
like the glisten.
The glisten. Yes. So that's great. But it's like you will hear the same music either way.
Right.
So like sometimes like when I think of these like convenience factors, I'm largely just seeing it as like a like add-on tax to the cost of my rental.
But like it feels like convenience, but it's like there's a new problem too. And the problem is like it's like you're no longer at that, like, just grab what you need and go. It's like you're removing a freedom from yourself, I feel like. Like, you are adding one kind of convenience, but losing, like, a massive other convenience.
Okay, so then I think you have to go through, like, a catalog in your head. Because, like, you know, on, like, if every kid for like out there needs, like, a water bottle.
Right.
You know, I guess each kid can carry their water bottle, but then each kid needs a towel
mm-hmm.
and you need towels. And
does each kid need a towel?
Well, I guess that's a fair question.
This is, see, it's like you can say stuff like this, like does each kid need a water bottle? Does each kid need a towel or whatever? Like, and I can't not fall back on my own beach experiences as a kid where we brought towels to the beach. Never. We had no tents. We had no shade. We didn't bring water to the beach at all.
True.
You just ran down there with your swim trunks on.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
I do.
There was no beach chairs.
Right.
We didn't have towels. We were just on the beach. The beach was the fun.
Right.
Like Beth, like, you know, because Beth, she's like, you know, well, they're going to want to sit down. I'm like, why? Like I never had a chair to sit in at the beach.
Only the adults had chairs.
Right. Only the adults had chairs.
I can see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do they need all these things?
It's a fair point.
Right. Like, you don't remember having water bottles on the beach?
No, but like I think that's where the access to the house was so tremendous. Like we had those, like they were like shaped like barrels, and I feel like they had like a foil top or something.
I remember.
Yeah. What were they called? Hugs?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jugs, hugs, something like that.
Anyway.
Juice things.
Juice things. Yeah. Like a juice drink. And so, I mean, not that like we would like go and like bring them down and like set up like a row of them and be like, hey, Jay, gotcha blue. Enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, threw it in the air. Then you caught it out of the air and drank it Gatorade style, like you're in a commercial or something. Yeah. Like you got like
the blue sweat coming down.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Epic. But like it was accessible enough. And that's where it's like, I don't know how good my own memory is in terms of like, I remember basically getting up in the morning, eating breakfast, going out and being at the beach until I was so hungry I couldn't stand it, going inside, eating lunch, going back out, playing until dinner, coming inside, and then like watching a movie afterwards or whatever.
Right.
You know, so it was like the amount of time that you were spending out time was massive.
Right.
But it's entirely possible that we were coming like in and out more often. I mean, surely we had to go to the bathroom sometimes.
Yeah. And you run in, you use the bathroom, you come back out.
Do you grab a drink though?
No. That's the thing. I'm just like, it's one of those things where I'm like, there's no way we're not going to bring water bottles for the kids. But also I don't remember ever having a water bottle at the beach.
Right.
You know, like you just played. And so there's part of me that's like, there's added, like if you have the wagon, you're going to put all the things you might need in it, which feels like the wrong amount of stuff to bring.
Sure.
like I don't want, it immediately gave me the same dread as like the car topper, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like, no, we don't need a car topper, right? The car topper encourages us to bring more than we need. And I know for a fact with 25 years of experience that we don't need a car topper to bring the things that a family of five with three boys needs to the beach. You know, like I know we can get it done in a minivan. I know it's big enough,
right?
Because I've lived it.
Right.
I have been there, you know, like I lived the Star Wars, Ted.
I know we had five people.
We
in a
don't
minivan.
Need a car topper.
Right. Yes. We had Christmas gifts for all the cousins,
right.
Grandparents.
Exactly.
Everybody, you know, we had all of our duffel bags and winter clothes and
right.
You
and
know.
It's like, you could say, yeah, but you could have brought a car topper. It's like you could have, but you know what the car topper is? It's a whole extra chore on top of everything. And then every time you get out, you got to fiddle with it and get stuff out of it. You know,
yeah,
that's the same thing. Every time you go out, you got to fill up this wagon with stuff and do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like if there's no car topper, I don't have to deal with the car topper. If there's no wagon, I don't have to deal with the wagon.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know there's going to be tons of stuff to carry.
So like, do you get any dread about carrying the stuff? Because I know you can't get down there without carrying stuff.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. I know we'll have to carry some stuff.
Right.
I know that. Yes.
So like, is it a devil I know problem? Like where you're more familiar with like one version of the inconvenience and it's like,
but I don't remember that inconvenience is the problem.
Well, I guess that's true, but like, you know, mom and dad might, you know, because they maybe were like, yeah, like, you know, you guys didn't really like pay that much attention to it because you were just like off playing. But like we were coordinating like a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe that's not true. I'm not really sure. Like there's a piece of me that like, you know, there's a like back when we were kids, we never had water bottles.
Right.
We just drank water from the sky.
Exactly. You know,
it rain, you turn your face up to the sky and you know, you're rejuvenated.
Yeah. It's fine.
Right. I mean, I honestly remember the same thing, even like running cross country where we're like, you know, nowadays everybody has these like hydration packs that they carry and like, you know, handheld water bottles and stuff like that, electrolytes. And like, I think about our cross country practices and it's like, you know, there was a bucket of water when you like walked out to practice and it was there when you got back. But like when you were on the run, like you sure as heck did not have water.
Right. Sure. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'm like, you know, like even like in like a race, it's like I will like run past the water stand every single time because I feel like I was like told
you don't need water.
You don't stop. You're not going to like hurt your time by hydrating.
Right.
You know? And it's like, well, I don't know. I mean, and that's different. Like when I did like my marathon, for example,
I did stop. The difference is that I do remember cross country practice being hard and suffering. And I only remember the beach being fun.
True. True. I don't know. I mean, I There are like little luxuries that I don't mind having. Like, I mean, like I've got like a pop-up like beach tent that I would like to bring down. I would like, you know, a chair for Alice and I to sit in.
Right.
You know, like those are like features of things like I want. And I don't know, like the idea of like not being able to like dry off like until I walked back to my second row house would almost be like, well, that's kind of like a lengthy jaunt. You know, but then at the same rate, I guess towels get sandy if you bring them down to the beach. So like that's a factor to consider as well.
Right.
you know?
Right. Yeah. It's like you want the conveniences, but is this its own inconvenience in a different way? I don't know. It's like, because it's not even just the practical nature of it. It is like, I think that was the thing. It's like, mentally, I know it is a practical thing, you know?
Sure.
Like, I know there's that, but like, there is something like in, like, I feel like I'm doing a bad job expressing it. It's just like, there is something deep inside of me that abhors the idea
of having a beach
a beach wagon.
I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to figure out like the common ground. I'm trying to figure out like what we did as kids. And I'm like,
right.
We didn't have
a beach wagon. And I know we were beachfront, and that's probably the main difference.
Right. I'm trying to decide like if you would get out there though, and you were like, I am really glad that we had this. You know, it's like, right. I was skeptical, but you know what? It is making things easier.
It's possible that could be correct, but it's like, do I want, yeah, is that, I don't know. There's that. Is it like the other thing that I've maybe tried to rationalize? I'm like, you know what? Maybe I could also use it for like sports things.
Sure.
You know,
yes. Yep.
Like
yep.
Getting all sports stuff from car to practice or whatever.
Yep.
You know, coaching style or whatnot, which now this is my other dilemma I have right now, which I feel like is like my learned experience versus like the expectations of the day.
Sure.
Is I'm doing the coaching this year, as we talked about before.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had my first coaches meeting over the weekend.
I am blown away by the formality of this experience already.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, it never would have occurred to me that this kind of thing was happening behind the scenes. It was just sort of like, yeah, Dave, you're coaching. So like, you know, we'll see you on Saturday for the game.
We'll send you the schedule.
Whatever you do in the meantime is your prerogative.
Right. Yeah. No, there's like rules about how many days a week you can have practice, how long the practices can be, which fields you can practice on.
Okay.
You know, all that stuff. but here's the other thing. So I always remember when we were kids, our coach, Dave, you know, showing up, big old mesh bag of soccer balls.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the balls used for practice.
Yep.
It is like that was it. You had the mesh bag. I've been imagining the mesh bag of soccer balls like for the entire time.
I think you absolutely should. I think it's a central part of the experience.
Okay. Because it seems like the rule of the day is kids bring their own balls. You know what I mean?
An abomination.
I know.
What if they don't buy a good ball?
I know. We got to have size 4 balls.
Size 4 balls. Yeah. Surely someone will bring the wrong size ball. Also, I remember playing middle school soccer. There was this like one kid who showed up and had this like orange ball that may have like had lead in it or something, but like it couldn't be kicked. It was like, how did someone somewhere in the, it was almost as if like a,
it was like a specific heavy training ball to improve kicking or something.
Maybe. I mean, like it was like a medicine ball factory. It was like, hey, what if we made a soccer ball too and just didn't put any of the sand in it? And
right.
It was like, no, it's too heavy.
But it was used to practice every day.
It was, it just belonged to this kid, Josh, you know?
And I see.
Like, yeah. It was like, Josh.
Yeah.
Classic.
So on the one, now this is like on the one hand, I'm like, no one's telling me I can't just bring the soccer balls or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So I know like I could just do it. I could just bring them.
Yeah.
But like if the rule of the day is they have to bring them, now it's like, if they're going to bring their own soccer balls anyway, like, am I being irresponsible by spending the money on the soccer balls? You know?
I don't think so.
I mean,
to me, this is like a situation where it's like, I feel like we're in like a fun, like, I think something that brings some thrill to me is just sort of like being in a position where you can be like, yeah, I'm going to go a little over the top, not because anybody's making me, but because I want to.
Right.
You know, like,
this is how I imagine doing it.
I think pursuing that image is fine.
Right.
You know, like I think it's perfect. And I mean, maybe the kids show up and they do bring their own balls or whatever, or maybe you get to the end of the season, you're like, I bought 15 balls and now there are no balls.
Right.
Like what happened to them?
What happened to them?
Yeah.
Children.
They got cannibalized. Yeah. They kicked them into the woods.
Yeah. They're going to have to go get them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly.
You have to go get that ball.
Builds character.
It does. Exactly.
And then also run a lap for kicking my ball into the woods.
You dang right. You don't get dirt on my uniform.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know how much of our life was influenced by the movie Remember the Titans, but it's not none.
Not none.
No, I would get your mesh bag, man. I think you just got to go do it, you know?
Like, all right. So I got to drop the money on the bag and on the soccer balls.
I think the bag, no problem whatsoever.
Well, so that's the thing.
I bet it's $8.
Obviously, if I'm getting the balls, I'll get the bag.
Yeah.
It's really whether or not I should buy 10 soccer balls.
Yeah, right. No, I understand. I understand. But then the additional layer here is that, like, if you do that, then, I mean, it's not so bad if you bring your wagon, you know, to practice.
Right.
You just, like, you pop open the tailgate, you know, everything's sitting right there. You know, you pull out your foldable wagon, you get it all extended, drop your mesh bag of balls in there, your cones, your whistle.
Yeah.
You know,
just got my stuff.
Maybe some, like, little, you remember, like the metallic stars that we had as kids? Like, you know, they would, like, put them on, like, your paper.
Yeah.
You know, and they would, like, come in, like, a big row, and, like, red and green and gold. Right. And stuff,
yeah.
Like
those.
That.
Yeah.
I would have some of those just in case, you know, like, hey, gold star.
Great job. Good job, kid.
Right. Right.
You're doing it.
Right.
I got my roster for my team.
Oh,
I know. Yeah. Exciting.
Is it missing some of the best players?
I think we've got some good players.
I was trying to tee you up. There's a line in Miracle where they say that Herb Brooks hasn't picked all the best players. And he's like, I don't need the best players, Tim.
I need the right ones. Yeah. We got the right players. I'll tell you that. We're looking unstoppable. Maybe.
I thought you were a hockey player.
I'm a hockey player.
If you spend more than 3 uninterrupted hours where we're not talking about Harry Potter, we will end up quoting either Remember the Titans or Miracle.
There's no doubt about that.
I mean, I don't know what else we're supposed to do.
I know. Those are great quotable movies.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Without Limits, probably.
Or that one.
Yeah. Good sports movies. Yeah. You know?
27 Butts Productions, one day when we get into it, is really going to have to make a sports movie of some kind.
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, it's very funny because I feel like the number of times that we talk about it, it would be such, like, a fun production studio, because I feel like we start with, like, 27 Butts, The Christmas Calamity.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like our giant, the Butt family is living on the edge of the quarry. There's just the single toilet. Like, that's the premise, you know?
Right.
And that's like what births the studio.
Yeah.
But, like, every time we come up with a new idea, they are nothing the same.
Here's another thought I had for the 27 Butts movie.
Oh, please lay it on me.
Is that, like, as, you know, because the week starts out, I think the opening shot is just, like, it's like the husband and wife, you know, discussing the week. And just, like, you know, I hate when we go to your parents' house or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's like, they only have one bathroom. It's like, no, it's okay, because my brother's going to bring the RV. That'll cover his family.
Yep.
And my parents got, like, the big, you know, wedding, like, one of those big wedding port-a-john things. I have it, that, you know, with like a his and her side.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right, right.
All that's going to end up in the quarry, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you will be subject to a single bathroom in the house.
Right.
As the movie progresses.
And no matter what falls in the quarry, it will blow up.
Exactly. And it will take way too long to fall into the quarry. Like, you can see the shot. I imagine, like, you see the shot of it falling, and as far as you can tell from the shot, it is like there's nothing in the way, but there is, like, no less than 50 cuts of this thing tumbling on the ground as it makes its way to the bottom of the quarry.
Absolutely. You know? Yes. Yes. I think that there is a scene in the movie Hot Rod. Is it Hot? Maybe it is. Where Andy Samberg's character literally just falls down a hill for, like, 2 full minutes.
Right. It just keeps just going.
Like, yeah. We'll put a link to that scene in the description down below.
Exactly that. It's right. Just too long. But here's the other thing, is that at some point in the movie, they're like, all right, men pee outside. Like, that's one way to limit.
Okay, sure.
Flush.
Yeah, we
but so you
though.
Keep cutting back to, like, a certain shot of the house, and there's just, like, a row of the garden that's pretty, like, dying or something. Just like, this is where everyone's peeing.
It just, like, but that, like, my favorite thing about this is the non-mention of certain details, where it's sort of like,
exactly,
as the movie progresses, you see more and more dead plants.
Exactly. Yes. It's like, you know, the guys are peeing outside. There's conversations where they're, like, just standing in a line doing it. You know, that'll be on camp, not, you know, above the torso or whatever.
Sure.
You'll recognize that. But then you'll keep returning to this, like, setup shot of the house, this establishing shot where it's just like, yeah, the plants are a little more dead each time.
Right.
For this reason.
For this. I love it. That's a very good one. I mean, part of me, it almost wishes that we could just set it next to a forest so that, like, we could, like, literally have, like, deforestation happening as a result of the peeing outside. Where it's like literal trees are missing.
There's the trees are going missing.
It's just like,
it's like, that bad.
It's that bad. It's like a wall of, like, openness in between the thicket. I mean, not necessary, because, you know, I like your version better. Mine's way too dramatic, but I really love that.
Yeah,
I mean that the running gag is like the undercurrent of what makes a 27 Butts production.
Right.
You know,
it is the unspoken running gag.
Right.
Is what has to Yeah, there's like, that's the things that make it so rewatchable.
Yes, yes. Like the other one that we talk about in Office a lot is like everybody in the house is like obsessed with like James Marsden, who is just like randomly like a like actor who for a period of time I was like, ugh, James Marsden.
Right.
That guy.
Yeah.
And what is he acting with another like animated creature again?
That guy. What's his deal?
I know. But the thing is, I'm like coming around on him. I'm like feeling the charm.
It seemed like someone pointed out to you that Jared Leto exists. And
yeah.
And then you were like, wait, but oh yeah. And I don't really feel like I could dislike James Marsden nearly the same way.
It was like James Marsden has never like harmed me.
Right.
You know, and people are like, but has Jared Leto harmed you? And it's like, well, I saw him once in concert and I found it to be like
disrespectful.
I found it to just be like self-indulgent, mm-hmm. which is something I'm not a huge fan of.
Right.
And I think that that's what got me.
Okay.
You know, it's like one thing to like be famous. It's another thing to be interested in your fame.
Right.
You know, like as the person who is famous.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Right. Like just like do your music video, you know, or just do your performance that everyone wanted you to do.
Exactly. It's like Gilderoy Lockhart, but like real.
Right. Yeah. Yes. There. That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except maybe not like Minimary Modification Charms. It's like, well, you know, you were in Fight Club and 30 Seconds to Mars. And like, you know, I'm like you have done things. Before.
You've done things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I don't know. That's that.
Okay.
End of discussion. So yeah, but anyway, so I was thinking James Marsden photos, you know, are just sort of like randomly scattered throughout like the house or like movie posters. Like if you go into like the kid's room, it's just like Sonic.
There's definitely got to be like also a like completely fake movie that's like kind of playing in the background the whole time.
Yes.
You know?
Okay. Because this is a thing from the movie Euro Trip where it was like they like every single character throughout the entire movie is reading the same book.
Oh yeah.
So like no matter what scene you go to, somebody else like
has the same book. Right.
You know, and it's just sort of like they don't address it. I don't know if there's any specific reason why it's that book, but they're all reading it.
They're all reading that book. Yeah. So like that movie's just constantly on in the background.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. But it's not a real movie. You think?
No, it's a fake movie.
It's a fake movie.
Well, as well. Home Alone. Like when he's got like the, you know, he's always watching the fake movies.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay. So so maybe like part of what we're doing here though is like we're going through and finding all of our favorite things from other films and just sort of like word vomiting them onto the script.
Right.
You know, where it's sort of like, yeah, like this movie did this thing and I really liked it. So I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do it our way. And we're going to have, it's like putting sprinkles on top of it, you know? It's
yeah.
just like, we're doing like the salt guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen him? You know, he does like the salt, like yeah. with the elbow bend. Yeah. We're doing that, but with sprinkles,
yeah.
you know? And those sprinkles are just like idea gems that we love from everything.
Right.
Because there's also a moment in Christmas Vacation where Clark is standing in front of the entire family and he just goes on like a tirade, basically like saying such an aggressive line of like obscenities in one
yes.
breath. And it's like, I don't know how to like recreate that, but I intend to.
Right. Yeah. You'll get it.
Yeah,
you'll get it.
I like that moment.
The thing I love about Christmas Vacation, the more I watch it, is that like that house is loaded with people. Like there's so many like characters in that movie, but like, and you kind of get like a feel for them without any of them having a plot line at all, except Chevy Chase.
Right.
You know,
it's like the canyon from Avatar.
Yeah.
Where it's like, sometimes you just need like a sense of like who these people are.
Right. Exactly. Full circle.
No, you're right though. Cause there's like the person who like walks in the door and the, like just the first thing they say is like, I've got this mole.
Right.
You know, and
is
you're
it
sort
red?
Of like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
well,
you keep touching it. It's like, you immediately know the dynamic between the husband and the wife. You immediately know that this is going to be like a slightly obnoxious person who's just immediately going for, it's like the aunt who's like a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like the cheek pinching, like,
right.
gives Russ a quarter and he's like, a quarter.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Amazing.
Right. Just like, these are stressful people who are here now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody has their own weird personality and they all have to be that personality to the nth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop and also this brain dump on 27 Butts, the Christmas classic, coming to a theater near you.
That we're writing in real time. You know,
For some reason, I feel like 2037 is when we promised it by from the beginning.
2037?
I don't know if anybody can fact check
I don't think
that.
We're going to make it to 2027, I'll tell you that.
You don't think that we will deliver it to the public by 2027?
No.
Big agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not.
Because that's
close.
Just next year.
It is like next year.
Yeah.
And also we've written nothing and have no plans, nor do we know how to do it.
Yeah. So.
So.
Things are a bit off.
Things are a bit off. I would say positioning wise, like we're not even close.
But if you guys like know anyone who wants to like invest in a movie, you know, we're here.
We're here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like how hard could it be?
How hard could it be?
Plus, you know, we're going to need casting for
at least 27 people.
At least 27 people who are comfortable with their name being aligned with the last name Butt.
With Butt, 27 Butts.
You're like, oh my God, you're Rick Butt.
You're Rick Butt.
From 27 Butts.
Yeah. Oh my God. There has to be a guy named Richard Butt.
Oh my gosh. You either know or you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, someone's name has to be Richard Butt.
All right,
like a million percent.
A million percent. It's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
That's could
in
it,
there.
Could it be a baby?
Oh my gosh.
Like everybody's like, because it would, I don't know. I mean, there's no reason for this because Richard's a common name, but like it would literally be like, oh, this is like our son, you know, he's 8 weeks old. His name's Richard. And they're going to be like, Richard.
Richard.
You can't call baby Richard.
Right. Like, oh, cool.
What else?
Good name.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. As always, if you have any feedback for us about the Byzantine Empire or anything else, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Also, I realize I could like look up the Byzantine Empire. So like, you know, but if you also don't know what it is or why other people do know what it is, let me know. And otherwise, yeah, if you'd like to support the show, you can get ad-free listening. I think that's something that is getting, it seems like increasingly popular. That's been the very big tier lately. You can check that out at patreon.com/popcornculture. Link to that in all of the descriptions and places down below. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop!
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.